Hey, what's up? It's Austin here from The Sound Table, and I'm joined by our co-host, Miranda.
Hello.
And in today's episode, we want to talk a little bit about the concept of if you should niche down when you're trying to start a career, especially in the audio industry, or is it better to kind of expand your horizons and not specialize in one super, super specific thing? Basically, that classic saying of like, jack of all trades, master of none. I want to talk about why, like, I think that may hold a little bit of weight, but I also think that that doesn't always apply. And to just kind of kick it off, I might be biased because this has been something that as I've progressed in my own career, I've kind of changed over time. Like when I first started, I was super non-specialized. I was doing audio production. I was doing graphic design. I was doing video production. I was working in every genre under the sun, mixing, mastering, songwriting, remixing. And it's just one of those things that, like, in my opinion, when you're getting started, especially if you're a freelancer, I think that it helps to have multiple things that you can be proficient at. You're not, you know, phoning anything in, but people have more options to hire you, right? Like, if you only do one genre and you only do one thing in that genre, it can be really hard to turn that into a full time's worth of gigs.
Right.
Like, if when I got started, I was to just say, oh, I only want to produce pop. I don't want to mix it. I don't want to master it. I don't want to work in anything that falls outside of like top 40s pop. That leaves me with such a small window of people that I can work with and sounds that I can kind of develop. And I know that, like, I don't know, to me, it's just, it's funny that people say that because it's, I hear it a lot in like audio. I don't hear it a lot in like other specialized fields, right?
Like that's what I was thinking. Like no one says that about literally any other fields but music.
Right. Like if I were to call a handyman service, I wouldn't be like, oh, they must not be very good because they can fix my toilet and hang a ceiling fan and repaint my wall.
Right.
It's like all of those kind of fall within the same umbrella of things, right?
Yeah,
it's not like I was saying, oh, I do audio production and I do landscaping and I detail cars and I do interior design. And everybody's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, how do
you
have time for all of those things?
Right.
To me, all of those audio services kind of fall into things that if you're getting started as a freelancer, you're going to pick up.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Also, don't you kind of have to figure out what you like?
Exactly.
Like, how do you know that you, what if you like, don't know that you like mastering because you've never done it? And then you try it and you're like, oh, wait, I actually love this. I don't like it as much as producing. Or I don't like producing as much as this. So I should focus on this more.
Yeah, I think that that's a huge thing. And like, I hear so many people talking about like niching down and like finding your lane and like branding yourself as somebody hireable. And I think that that's all well and good. But like at the same time, if I would have stuck to the only genre that I knew how to produce when I was producing first, and if I would have stuck to only the things that I ever knew, I just feel like, how do you progress?
Right.
Like, I feel like we live in the age of everything kind of is DIY. Most people watching this who also watch our YouTube channel are probably people who started out as musicians and then they became songwriters and then they became, you know, DIY producers. And now they're trying to mix their own projects. And when you mix it, you might as well master it.
Right.
And if you're doing that, you might as well distribute it yourself. Oh, now you need artwork. You might as well just go on Photoshop and make something really quick and learn how to do that. We live in a DIY age where so many people are learning to do so many things. And I think the access to knowledge is so much more vast where it's not that difficult to learn a bunch of different skills.
Yeah.
And have them all kind of intermingle.
If you have the ability to go to school for it anymore.
Exactly. If you have the ability to learn how to produce a pop instrumental, like why could you not take a lot of those skills and then go make an R&B or a rock instrumental?
Yeah.
And so I understand that like there are producers that have their sound and it's worked really well for them. I will also say most of them came from an entirely different generation where they got popular off of their sound and then made their name on that. And that's how they kept going. I don't think that anybody that listened to an Austin Hole production 7 years ago cared about the Austin Hole sound at that time. They needed me to make a release ready record along the lines of whatever their references were. If they were referencing One Direction, I better know how to make that. If they were referencing The Weeknd, I better know how to make that. If they were referencing a rock band, I better know how to make that. And that's kind of why I picked pop, honestly. And it's just one of those things of like, I feel like it's a pretty unfair generalization.
Yeah.
To just say that like, oh, if you know how to do more than one thing, like you must not be very good at it. Because I also know a lot of people who have niched down and hyper specialized. They're still not that great at that one thing. And like, There are some people that can be amazing at 10 things. There are some people that really like to focus in. I think that it just depends on what you like.
And it depends on your personality. Like some people, that's what they like. Like some people have like four different hobbies and some people only have one. It's not any different. It doesn't mean that those people don't care about those things just because they're interested in multiple things.
And it's just how people's brains work. Yeah, like some exactly. people like really monotonous tasks. Like some people just, their dream is to be an accountant and just count numbers all day. And they love that repetition. They love how predictable and how mathematic their job is. And if that is your brain in the audio world, you might like something like engineering, where mm-hmm. it is very, very methodical. It is very to the point. There are creative liberties, but not nearly as much as like songwriting and producing.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's not something you want to do, if you like to put your creative input on everything possible, if you like to, you know, dive in and stretch your mind, you might want to work on producing and you might want to work on making multiple genres. All of my favorite producers that I can think of, most of them do multiple genres, or yeah. at least can do them very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you look at somebody like Lewis Bell, who's worked with Post Malone, Halsey. He's done some hip hop records. He has worked on like some film music, and he's producing all of Post Malone's country album, but he also produced all of Post Malone's hip hop album.
Right.
And he produced all of Halsey's pop album, and he produced, what else was I seeing that he just produced? I think he worked on like Flowers by Miley Cyrus. Like mm-hmm. all of those sound wildly different to me.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it would be fair for you to be like, oh, Lewis Bell works in six genres. He must not be very good at any of them.
Well, clearly he is because those are all huge artists and huge songs.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of that guy. Who's the producer that did the soundtrack for Black Panther?
Ludwig Göransson.
Yeah. I'm like, I never remember his name.
Yeah. That guy's amazing.
Yeah. And he does like, he got crazy range. Like yeah. he literally does like scores for movies and then does like artist.
Like literally did This Is America by Childish Gambino and then scored Oppenheimer. Like, yeah, that's like, so wild.
What the hell?
And I don't know. It's just one of those things of like, I appreciate people trying to niche down. If you feel like it's really hard for you to focus on a lot of things and you feel like your brain works better when you hyper-focus on one thing and you yeah. perfect that, then do that. I know a lot of people that started out producing and mixing and mastering. And after years of them doing all of that, they were like, you know what? I really just prefer to mix. So mm-hmm. I'm cutting the dead weight. I don't like producing. It takes me too much time. I don't always love the result. So now I'm just going to mix because that's what I feel the most confident in. And that's when I feel like niching down makes sense. Yeah. I feel like it's just such a personal thing. I don't think that you'll necessarily be any more or less successful depending on what you do. I do think it's almost impossible to get to the point where you have the privilege of niching down
right.
if you don't put in that time casting your net, kind of throwing paint at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Right. I also think it's interesting in the audio world that everyone's like, oh, jack of all trades, master of none. Like, if you're doing all that stuff, how good can you really be? Because in every other realm and like from an outsider's perspective, I'm just like, oh, they have range. Like, this man can score a movie and he can make like one of the most popular hip-hop songs. So it's like, that's just range. Why are we right. calling it like he is not? Well, I guess they're not saying that about him. But it's just interesting.
I think a lot of it probably comes from the mindset of like studios 20, 30 years ago, where like everybody in the studio had a very specific job and a specific label. Like
right.
engineers engineered, producers produced, songwriters wrote the songs, instrumentalists played the instruments. And like everybody had their niche, they had their pocket, and a whole team of 30 people would come together to make a record.
Yeah.
And like, that's beautiful. That still happens on big budget records. Yeah. However, most people don't have big budgets for records now.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are either A, DIYing it, like I said earlier, and just fucking learning how to do everything, or B, they're finding 2, 3, maybe 4 people max to help them come up with an entire record.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, you don't really have the opportunity to be like, I'm a super specialized pop producer who works within these really specific parameters, and I'm not going to mix, and I'm not going to master, and I'm not going to co-write. Like, I can't go into a session and be like, oh, I'm just the lyrics guy.
Right.
People are going to be like, get the fuck out. Like, why are you here?
Yeah. Because like most other people can do that.
Right.
Well, I feel like with everything back in the day, like it just gets better as time goes on. Like even looking at something like the Olympics that's going on right
exactly.
now, like athletes are better now than they have ever been. They just keep getting better and better. The people keep getting younger. like the younger people are even better than people who are twice their age.
And we watched a 14-year-old girl win a skateboarding gold medal yesterday.
Yeah, and it was like, crazy.
She's 14. Granted, what was I doing at 14?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like they're just getting better as we're progressing as a society. So I'm like, it makes sense to me that people back then would specialize in one thing, but now that would be odd if like you met someone and they're like, oh yeah, I just do this like one like lyricist or something like that. Not like if you're only a mastering engineer, only a mixing engineer. That makes total sense to me. But like a lyricist, or they're like, I only do this one specific thing. Like that would be a little more hard to come by.
Yeah. I also think that like if you try to niche down too early, it's just like doing a disservice to the process of like finding your sound. And like you said earlier, finding what you like, right? Like I started out producing rock and metal. And if I would have niched down and just been a rock and metal guy and never moved on to pop or R&B or hip hop or electronic music or anything that I do now, like would I have progressed as fast as I progressed only doing the same thing all the time?
Right.
And would I still enjoy it? Like that was 7, 8 years ago, 8, 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Would I still want to be making similar records? Some people love that.
That's and probably like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it might be like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Some people love that. And like, that's what they want to do. And that's amazing if that's how your brain works. I get really bored of the same thing. So like for me, if my brain doesn't do well with like hyperfixating on one genre for years at a time, why would I set up that to be my business model?
Right.
Like I listen to different music every day. I want to produce different music every day.
You're more like hyper focused on a genre 1 week at a time.
100%. Yeah. I tell people all the time that like I book out styles in like batches. So like I might work on like a couple electronic songs at a time. I might work on a couple R&B songs at a time. I might work on a couple, you know, radio pop songs at a time. And I do that because that's what I'm feeling inspired by. And then eventually I get a little bit bored and a little bit burnt out of that and I move on.
Exactly.
And then I come back to it later.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll take elements from the range of things that I've kind of learned how to do over the years. And I can say like, oh, this is a cool pop record, but like, what if we put a soul chord in here and just like made it feel not super pop?
Yeah.
Or like, this is a really cool hip hop record, but what if we took this element out of like hard rock music and put that into hip hop? That would be really sick. And those are things that when you overly specialize and you overly niche down in a genre, I don't know if you have the liberty of doing that. Like you might
or
have the ideas.
Like
but,
the thought process to do something like that because you don't work in that genre. That I think of someone too, like Pharrell Williams. Like,
I was just about to bring up Pharrell.
Yeah,
we're on the same wavelength.
Wow, look at that. But yeah, he is like, look at his freaking history, like his track record. Like what has this man not done?
He's a perfect example of like, he has a sound. Like you can hear a song in 3 seconds and be like, Pharrell produced that.
Yeah.
However, that doesn't mean that he's doing the same thing a million times. He might do a neo funk record, like Get Lucky with Daft Punk. And then he might go do Happy for Despicable Me. And then he might go do a song like N.E.R.D. that basically sounds like Limp Bizkit with an MPC drum over it.
Yeah,
and
it's like, crazy.
Or he might go produce for Kendrick Lamar and then turn around and produce for Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
And like, that's the perfect example of that man has found a sound. He has found a texture that fits him and it sounds like a Pharrell record. But he's not only going to produce things that sound like N.E.R.D. and the Neptunes forever. He's not only going to produce Drop It Like It's Hot a million times. He's going to go then do Sweetener. He's going to go then do, you know, To Pimp a Butterfly. And I think that to me is the marks of a great producer. I think there are producers out in the world, I will not name names, that everybody says are amazing producers. And I'm like, they're great for 3 songs. And then I'm fucking bored because it's the same thing over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can be a master at that. I do not consider them a very, very, very great producer because they're good at one thing. And once they've done that one thing, in my opinion, of course you're good at that one thing. It's the only thing you do. You make the same song 100 times. And like, it's working well for them. They're booked and busy, much more successful than I am. However, in my mind, I'm just thinking like, when I think of like what a great producer, they're a good producer. When I think of a great producer, I think of somebody who can have any artist in the room and hear that artist's inspirations and be like, I got you. Let's literally make something right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not that interested in producers personally who cannot do that. If I go into a studio with a producer and they're like, oh, well, like, this is really what I do, then I'm like, why am I here? Like,
right.
Well, let's just make something and see what happens. And maybe that's a fucked up mindset to have. But in my opinion, all of my favorite people that have inspired me have their sound, but also have like a wide range of influences, a wide range of skills.
But that's also how your brain works. So that 100%. Might be why. Like, I'm sure people who their brains don't work like that and they don't like to work in multiple genres and they like to stick to one thing, I'm sure they do relate more to those producers because of that.
Yeah.
But your brain just does not work like that. Maybe it's like the undiagnosed ADHD in you.
I think that is 100% what it is. I just get bored doing the same thing a lot. And most of the people that I know that are also in the industry, same thing with them. Like, they get really burnt out doing... They're like, I've done 6 house records this week. Like, I don't want to make another one.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to not get bored at your job and not get burnt out. It seems like that would help burn out a little bit. Is you're like, okay, yeah, one day I can write like this sad little ballad song. And then the next day I can make like a house beat. And then the next day I can make like a hip hop track. Like, you can really have a wide range, which I feel like would help with burnout. I mean, granted, I don't know. And I don't write.
For me, for music, like... Having a wider range of colors on my palette helps me express myself better.
If helps I have were a more beautiful picture.
Yeah, exactly. If I were to have a couple things that I think I'm like, I've perfected, to me personally, it would be hard to fit all of my emotions into one specific genre or aesthetic or formula. And that's not to say that like it can't be done, but I look at somebody like even Max Martin. He is the pop guy, has a pop sound. I think that for a couple years at a time, he definitely is like, oh yeah, that's a Max Martin song. Like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Britney Spears.
Yeah.
They all kind of sound very similar. That's great. That was his sound at the time. Then he moves on. And then he's got the Kelly Clarkson and Pink and that era. Perfected that sound. Then he kind of moves on and he's doing Ariana Grande. And who else is he doing? He's Taylor Swift and Katy Perry. And he perfected that. And then he kind of moved on. But I don't think... Just because he's kind of stayed in the pop niche, I think that being a pop producer, you have to be able to kind of be a jack of all trades.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't get to be a pop producer and be like, I do one thing.
No, it changes way too much.
You can be a dance producer and make a pop record. You can be an R&B producer and make a pop record.
Yeah, for sure.
You cannot be a pop producer if you cannot dip into jazz, or if you cannot dip into country, or if you cannot dip into, you know, D&B. Because the trends are not... at your will.
Yeah.
Trends are going to happen. And if you can't figure it out, and if you can't figure out how to implement that sound into your signature sound as well, good luck staying booked.
Yeah.
And that to me is the part that motivates me as a pop producer, honestly, to like listen to a bunch of music, always be, you know, finding new tools, finding new plugins, finding new sounds, doing more research. Because I know that if I perfect the sound, that's only good for about 18 months. And then that really doesn't matter anymore. And it's time to move on. So I'm very confident with my skills. Am I a perfect producer? Absolutely not. I'm always learning. I'm always growing. But in the realm of pop, I think you almost have to be a jack of all trades. And nowadays, everybody is at least pre-mixing their stuff. The top producers in the world, yeah, they might be sending it to... the Manny Americans, they might be sending it to the Sorbonne Guinness, they might be sending it to, you know, anybody, the Leslie Brathwaite, they might be sending it to all of those people. But I promise you, their rough mixes sound better than 90% of mixes that you've ever heard from anybody, like not at that level. So they still know how to mix. They just have the budgets to send it to these top guys to add that last little 10%.
Right.
Same with those mixing engineers and mastering. They can master it, but the label has that extra few $100 per song to send it out and get, you know, like Howie Weinberg, or to get somebody like Sterling mastering on it and really just like perfect it. And at their level, I think it's good to have quality checks, because there's going to be millions, if not billions of times that it's heard.
Yeah.
But does it need to be that? No. Like, if I went to Max Martin and I was like, hey, I have the budget for you and you only, I 100% think he could give me a start to finish track that would be amazing. Yeah. He could engineer it. He could produce it. He could mix it. He could master it. And it would sound totally acceptable to 99% of people. And that's what's funny about the jack of all trades thing. Yeah, it might be hard to be somebody who is a specialized producer. Like, I don't think Pharrell is taking mixing projects just to piss around, you know, like. Pharrell is a producer, so he's niched down into being a producer, because that's all he has the time for and that's what he enjoys the most.
Right.
Could Pharrell mix a record? Yeah, probably. I think Pharrell could probably sit at a board and mix a better record than 99% of human beings on the planet.
Right.
That's just not what he wants to do. That doesn't mean he's not good at it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what people get confused when they look at people who are freelancers like me or like other independent producers. is like, we also are learning how to do everything, but we're not, some of us, to the point of where we just get to say, you know what? I charge that artist a couple $1,000 to produce our record. I don't feel like mixing it. So that artist is going to have to come up with another $1,500 to go get it mixed by a mixing engineer.
Right.
And then another $300 to get it mastered, where we can just be like, I think that the results would be so negligible of us having to lump in six other people and get this project done and add thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. I'll just do it all myself.
You also don't have the privilege. Like, these are all super rich people. So it's like
mega rich.
Yeah. Like, they have the privilege to be able to do whatever the hell they want. And like, they, granted, they have worked hard to get there, but like, most producers that are not in the top 1-2% or whatever, they don't have that privilege. So like, and also most of the time, the clients that you're working with don't have that privilege because they don't have that budget. Like, even people who are bigger artists still, they don't get a big budget if they're signed to a label. Like, they're not getting a budget that Ariana Grande is getting.
Sure. Like, you even look at like one of our friends of the channel, Matt Huber, an insane mixer. All he does is mix, does a lot of pop record. He does Joan. He does Valley. He does Boys Like Girls. He does Nightly. He does so many people. Mm-hmm. Him and Jeff Braun, kind of in the same camp. They do incredible mixes. I know their rates, to me, totally worth it, especially for independent artists. However, I don't think that it's a coincidence that probably 80 to 85% of Matt's clients are all self-produced. So they save that money producing themselves.
It's true.
And now they might have a couple grand to go get a song mixed, right? Yeah. They didn't spend $4,000 in the studio making a song and then turn around and say, fucking, that's not even mixed. Now I have to go spend another $1,800 and get it mixed. And then I have to go spend another $300 and get it mastered.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things of, he did specialize down. He did niche down. He found mixing. He's very good at mixing. He also found a market that works really well with him because he's working with bands that are self-producing. Nightly self-producing, Jones self-producing, Valley self-producing, Boys Like Girls is self-producing. They're all incredible.
Yeah.
But that's why they have that extra budget to go and get a mix from Matt. Mm-hmm. And his mixes are fantastic. But if I work on a production with Nightbreakers or with Riley, they're spending their budget on me to help them make the song. Mm-hmm. And that's great. The songs come out great. I mix them well. Matt loves my mixes. He respects me as a mixer. And he understands, hey, the results of if you were to tell that band to pay my rate and also have me mix it are so negligible that they might be better spending that money on promotion, advertising, touring, merchandising.
Exactly.
And I think that that's what people forget is like, especially when you're a freelancer, you sell services, right? You sell experience, you sell service. And it is already hard for people to hire a freelance engineer who's independent. There's just a lot of things that have to happen for them to trust them to believe in the sound, them to feel comfortable. And then to add on top of that I might tell somebody like, oh, we did an amazing record. It's not done yet. Here's another couple $1,000s worth of work that you need to expect to be done.
Yeah.
It's a hard sell.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are not to the point where you've specialized and you've built those connections with producers who are like, yeah, you know what? I am just going to have Matt mix it, or I am just going to have Jeff mix it, or I am just going to have Mayor Applebaum like master it. It's hard to get to that level.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of figure out what you're good at, what you're best at, weed it down, and you have to kind of bite off more than you can chew, especially at the start of your career.
But even with you, you don't take mixed projects anymore.
Very rare.
Yeah, it's like only your clients. Like, you'll do your clients, but like, if you didn't produce a song, like 99% of the time, I would say you don't mix people's songs.
Yeah.
Because you used to, and then you were like, I feel like I should maybe just like cut this out because it's too much.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I still would mix their songs. Like, if Joan was like,
that doesn't count though. That's someone that you work with and that you know. I'm saying like, you don't take it from like strangers.
Yeah.
Like, people that are not your current clients and or past clients.
Yeah. I think that a lot of that is because I kind of sit in this weird middle zone right now where if somebody can afford my mixing rate, a lot of the times I'll listen to their production and I'll just be like, I don't think that the production is there enough for you to come spend another $1,200 to get the song mixed.
Right.
I think that you'd be better off if we worked on this production and then I can kind of mix as we go. And like, at the end, you'll still get a mixed song, but like, the amount of inquiries that I get for mixing that I think are actually ready to be professionally mixed mm-hmm. are pretty small. Like, yeah. A lot of them are people trying to DIY it, which is why they're trying to hire me to mix it.
Yeah.
And they're not quite there. I did a mix like a month ago for a guy named Jack Shea, and it was great. I ended up finding out that he was working with a producer that's also incredible, because when I got those stems, I was like, this is great. It's a beautiful premix. Everything has its own. I can really focus on what I do want to do for the mix. But that's so few and far between that it's not really a service that I do every single week. I would say out of 100 projects a year, I may be mixing 10 and producing 90. Like, I mix most of the things that I produce.
Yeah.
But you're right. I very rarely just mix now. And like, I'm not going to master, because to me, I'm like, just go to a mastering guy.
Yeah.
Like, go to somebody whose entire studio is set up for mastering.
Yeah.
They'll be the same price as me. They're more specialized. They'll give you a better experience, because I have a lot of things that I'm balancing, and I'm not just interested in like popping up one master. I don't have a workflow set up for that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a workflow set up for producing and having co-writes come in and filming tutorials and producing sample packs. To just throw in a random mix or master in the middle of that now costs me more money and time than it's worth to book it.
Yeah.
So that's how you start to niche down and specialize.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, if it takes me 2 hours to do a mix, but it also takes me 2 hours to talk to a client, get the stems in, send them exports, get everything. A 2 hour mix actually takes 5 hours. And in that 5 hours, could I use that and do something that I enjoy more and make more money at? Like, I'm not going to just sit there and then mix when I could just be producing a record in that time.
Right.
And so it took me years to get to that point. Like, that's not a point.
Yeah. Like a few years ago.
Maybe two.
Yeah. Like really not that long ago.
Yeah. And like, that's kind of been the trajectory of my career personally, is start throwing everything at the wall. I was doing logo design. I was doing website design. When I first went freelance, I was like, if anybody's offering to pay me anything, I will set my rate. And if they see my rate and they like my services enough to pay for it, then great. I'll offer that. I'm not going to say no to a graphic design. If somebody's like, hey, I have $200 to get a logo done and I have nothing to do that afternoon and they want a logo, like, why would I be like, no, I'm just a music producer.
Right. Well, if you like it and you're good at it, I will say, yeah, why not? But if you're not, then no.
I will say don't offer services that you're not good at or that you don't enjoy just to be like, oh, I need to fill the books.
Exactly. And I think that you have a different viewpoint on it, because you just so happen to be good at a lot of things, but not a lot of people are good at a lot of things. You're just kind of lucky in that sense that you like, well, and talented, it's not just luck, but you know what I mean?
There are people though, that they're just certain types of personalities that you just pick shit up fast. And
exactly.
There are people that you're like, why are you you've never hit a baseball before. Why are you so good at this?
Right. Yeah. And when it comes to like creative stuff like this and like graphic design, which kind of, it doesn't fall under the same umbrella, but like ish, you are very good at
it. It's something
I've
always
been
drawn to.
Yes. But like when I tried to like get you to crochet like a few stitches in a project,
I'm horrible.
You were like, can't do it. Like, can't do it. Can't do hand-eye stuff like that. It's all different.
You see it all the time with athletes, especially collegiate athletes, where they're like, oh, right now they're trying to figure out if they want to join the NBA or the MLB or the NFL. They actually have scholarships on all three of those and they're top in their sport. And it's like, would I ever be like, you're not that good at baseball if you can also throw a 60-yard touchdown?
Yeah, well, that was Michael Jordan. That was why everyone thought like, all this weirdo going to play baseball. But in reality, it's like he actually was really good at baseball. And then he just chose to play basketball. And that's why he went back.
Half the NFL quarterbacks were like college level baseball players and probably could have gone to the MLB because they're very good at throwing things.
Even the girl yesterday, we were watching the women's park skateboarding finals.
Mm-hmm.
She was, first of all, she was 16. Crazy, crazy talented. And she was a skateboarder. She was also a surfer, which she also qualified to surf in the Olympics, but she couldn't because the surfing is in like Tahiti.
Mm-hmm.
So too far. So she couldn't do that. And she also snowboards. It does make sense that she does all those things, because again, they are kind of all similar, but same with like throwing, like you were just saying, throwing a football, throwing a baseball. It's like,
they're different sports. They're different mechanics completely.
Right.
But if somebody's brain is wired well enough to throw a football at a professional level, they can probably figure out how to throw a fucking baseball.
Well, and just most of the time, people like that, it's like, you're just athletic. So like, you can probably do a lot of really awesome things involving athletics.
I went to high school with people that have never played a sport before and they make varsity their first year trying out, because I'm just like, holy shit, you were just like a specimen of an athlete.
You're just better.
You're fast,
at it.
You're strong, you're coordinated.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you wouldn't see somebody that's good at multiple sports and be like, oh, they're a jack of all trades. You're just like, they're coordinated, so they play a lot of sports.
Yeah.
It's the same way about somebody who's creative and is good at problem solving. If you're good enough at being creative and problem solving to produce, after enough time, you're going to learn how to mix whether you like it or not.
Right.
Because that is just kind of an extension of producing.
Yeah.
And if you listen to a lot of music, over time, that's going to seep its way into influencing your music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you look at somebody like, look at John Bellion, right? He's really been, last year he was focusing more on like the UK garage Y2K stuff. This year he's doing more of like the Neptunes Y2K stuff with like Girls by the Kid Laroi, Why by, or Who or Why by Jimin. And like, he's so good at that. He was also great at doing the UKG stuff last year. And then before that, he was great at doing the ballads that he was doing with Justin Bieber. And then before that, he was great at doing the John Bellion solo project.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, why would I be like, yeah, John Bellion was really good doing his like J Dilla drum beats and his solo project, but like he should not be producing a Y2K garage track.
Right.
Like, why? He's good at it. Like,
I think some people, maybe it's some sort of jealousy a little bit.
Maybe. There are a lot of famous people, though, that there have been recorded interviews of them being like, oh, you have to niche down. You have to specialize. You have to find your lane.
Famous people can be jealous.
They can be jealous and they can also be out of touch, which is kind of what I was weighing on earlier.
Well, like, for sure.
It's really easy for somebody to come up through the traditional means of being, go to school for engineering, come out, be a runner, become an assistant engineer, become an engineer, get some production credits, start producing, start doing some pre-mixing, become a mixer. It's like, that's like a really easy way to be like, oh yeah, I just specialized down. Like I just found what I liked and stopped and like got the best at that. You were on a path for that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to really do that as a freelancer.
Right.
I don't get to just be like, I'm going to be the sickest mixer that ever lived and I'm not going to learn shit about production and I'm not going to learn anything about mastering. I'm just going to get really perfect at mixing and somehow I'm going to find a few hundred people a year that will hire me to the point where I can pay my bills.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry to tell you, that's probably never going to happen.
No, it's so much, everything is just so, yeah, it is people that are out of touch or people that are just like stuck in like, oh, well, back in my day. And it's like, back in your day, everything was a little bit different. I don't think 30 years from now, we can sit, we're going to be able to say, oh, well, back, no, because it's different. Like, everything is different. 30 years ago, there was no internet. So
shit.
It's like,
so many artists now are DIYing their own music. They're producing it, mixing it, mastering it, doing the artwork, doing the music videos and creative direction.
Yeah.
And like, they might hire out some small people to do like things here and there, but so many people basically run the entire gambit on their release.
Because
like,
shit's expensive.
That shit didn't exist 30 years ago.
No.
Ever. And so like now, as somebody who offers services, you have to compete with artists and be like, I'm proficient enough for you to not just skip past me and do it yourself.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, I have, honestly, most of the people that I produce for, they come in with demos and I'm like, yeah, if you really wanted to like dial in on this, you could probably fix it enough to release it. Like,
yeah.
You don't necessarily have to hire me. I like working with people that don't necessarily have to hire me. They prefer to work with me and it kind of opens me up to do my thing.
Because
people that feel like they need to hire me, then my job becomes fixing a bunch of shit that wasn't right in the first place.
Yeah.
And that was where I was a few years ago in my career and it was fine. I got paid to do it. I love doing it. I worked on a bunch of records. I'm not interested in that anymore. Now I want to work with people that they do what they do. I do what I do. We can meet in the middle and figure out how to merge both of those to make the best record possible. Not me come in and try to clean up a muddy palette and organize things.
Yeah.
And it's a privileged position to be in. Like, it took me years.
Exactly. It is interesting. Like, it's an interesting thing to me to care about. Like, why do you care? If you think that somebody who does producing, mixing, mastering, whatever, if you think that, oh, well, they're probably not good at XYZ because they just don't hire that person. Congratulations. Don't hire that person. Like, I don't understand why you care. Because it's just odd to me. I'm like, if you care that much, don't hire them. Because it's just seeming like you're a little bit jealous or something like that. Because it's a weird thing to care about that it literally doesn't affect you. Like, I would understand if it was like, this person's going around saying they're an expert in everything, but they're using like AI to do this stuff or like they're actually hiring out people and acting like it's them. Like, sure, if they're like out here scamming people,
yeah,
I could understand why you'd be mad. But just because someone is talented in multiple areas, why are you getting mad about that?
Like, would you judge somebody if they were able to produce a record, but then they could also run a 3-hour marathon and they could also cook a Michelin star meal and they were very good at video games, you'd be like, oh, they're just really good at a lot of things and have a lot of hobbies outside of their work.
It's just called having hobbies.
Somebody like me, I don't have that many hobbies outside of music and creative stuff.
This,
like,
is your hobby a lot of
time. I don't spend a lot of time playing video games. I can cook all right, but I'm not just like in the kitchen for fun, fucking around and they're creating recipes. I don't, you know, I'm not like super athletic anymore. I don't like go out and exercise all the time. Like, to me, this is what I want to do. So,
right.
I can divide all the time that a lot of people are balancing between their work and their hobbies and, you know, interpersonal relationships. I can just balance that into doing as much creative shit as possible.
Right.
And so why is it fair that somebody gets to label me a jack of all trades, master of none, when really I think that music as a whole is what I am best at.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's one trait.
Exactly.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
All the genres that fall in within that, that to me is taste. That's flavor. That's signature sound. That's preference. I'm not great at music and great at basketball and great at race car driving and great at cooking mm-hmm. and great at painting. I'm great at music.
Right.
I'm not a jack of all trades. And for somebody to come in and just be like, oh, because you have a lot of services or you work in a lot of different styles, why should I think that you're really good at one of them? This is all I do.
Right.
Like, it's all I've done Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 hours a day for 8 years now.
When you also have a track record of everything you've done. Like, if someone yeah. thinks that, like, you could be lying about it, it's like, I'm not, because look,
yeah,
here's all the things I've done in my career. I don't know. It just is like, I'd be curious if someone disagrees with that. Like, I understand if you're like, I can't do that because that's not how my brain works. Like, I can't be doing
that's fair.
Multiple things. Like, my brain works really good for this one thing, and that's what I like to do, and that's what I'm good at, so I'm sticking with that. That's not what I'm talking about. That's completely different. If you're just like, don't like that people do multiple things, I would be curious to know why, besides the fact that you can't do them yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do multiple things, which is totally fine. Like, who cares? It doesn't.
It's like, not a competition.
It's not a competition. And you're not better than this person over here because you can do four different things and they can only do the one. Doesn't matter. It doesn't affect, these two things can exist. And it doesn't affect each other. Like, it's fine.
Also, I think it's just what is important to you, right? Like, yeah, if I were to say, I'm going to spend all the time I do on music as a whole, I'm going to spend that on mixing because that's what I like. Right now, is Matt Huber a better mixer than me? Yeah, he's great. And in my opinion, he's doing some of the best mixes in music.
Right.
I would say he's a better mixer than me. However, if I were to spend all day, every day doing just mixing instead of all of the other shit that I do, could I become as good as him?
Possibly. Maybe,
but that's not what I want to do.
Exactly.
So to me, I'm not upset that he's better at that one thing than me because that's what he likes to do. That's right. What he spends his time on. I'm not upset that Serban is the best mixer in the world when he hasn't produced a record in 30 years.
Right.
However, that wouldn't fulfill me personally. So I'm willing to say, okay, I might not be the number one person at this specific thing, but I'm very good at a lot of things. I stay booked and busy. I feel fulfilled. The people that I work with feel fulfilled. And if we need to expand and get somebody who might be very specialized in one thing, we can try to figure it out with a budget and they have a purpose. I think there's a purpose for both sides.
Yeah. Maybe their logic is like, oh, you're good at a lot of things, but you're not great at one thing. But I don't think that's true either.
I don't either.
Like,
I think some people are good. I think some people are not good or great at one thing. Yeah. And I think some people are very great at a ton of shit.
Right. Yeah. Like you were saying, like you might not be the best mastering engineer, but you're definitely a great mastering engineer. You're not perfect, but yeah. Like you're great at it. Like, so like, and you're also an incredible producer.
Right.
But it's just like, I get if it's like, actually, no, I don't get it.
Like, am I making the craziest hyper pop records like A.G. Cook? No. But like, in my mind, I get to make something in that genre one day, and then I get to make something like Dua Lipa the next, and then I get to make something like The Weeknd the next, and then I get to make something like Bill Murray the next. And to me, that's more interesting, personally. If I loved one thing enough to just settle down and commit to that and 100%, sure, that's fine. That's just, like you said earlier, people's brains work differently.
Yeah.
People get fulfilled by different things, and I don't think that it's fair for people to cast that generalization, because I also don't think that just because you end up picking to do one thing or to do a multiple of things, I don't think that makes you any better or worse. Some people are
the best at
something, and some people are just not. Like, you look at LeBron James, and he's like the best black basketball player ever. And like, could he have also probably gone on and been one of the greatest tight ends ever? Yeah. Like,
right.
the thing is, some people just greatness is a trait as a whole. And yeah. I'm not saying that's me, but you look at somebody like Pharrell, you look at somebody like Lewis Bell, you look at somebody like Ludwig Göransson, you look with somebody like, you know, all of those pioneers. At the end of the day, they're going to be good at whatever they do. They're going to win at whatever they do.
Yeah, look at Pharrell. He has clothing line, shoe line, skincare.
Yep.
And he's an incredible producer still. And it's like, I'm sure that would piss a lot of people off, but he is good at all of those things.
Yeah, I think that like, a lot of people...
What are you going to do? And those are all very different.
Obviously, most things in the world can be learned and can be practiced and can be whatever. I think that something that a lot of people don't like to realize is sometimes people's brains just have different capacities, right? Like, 100%. Think of them as different sized batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody might have a watch battery that is 100% full of all the information that they can possibly process and implement and do. And that watch battery is a perfect watch battery. Meanwhile, other people have a fucking car battery that they can fill up.
Yeah.
And it's just, that is different. Like, people are just different.
I think people have a hard time looking at things, though, when it's, like, outside of their own lens, because they don't, they probably are thinking, like, everyone thinks the same as me, everyone has the same mindset as me, everyone processes yeah. things the same as me, when it's like, that's not true at all. Like, we process and do things very differently.
Yeah, for sure. I don't really know why people care. I just think that...
I don't know either.
My whole... If you listen to this podcast and you're still here, I think my mission statement of this whole thing is, like, figure out what you want to do and figure out the best path, the most straight arrow to get you where you want to be for what you want to do. And if that's producing multiple genres and also mixing... That's totally fine. Figure out your path to that. Yeah. If that's specializing and making only Detroit house music and you only produce it and you only want to work with certain artists, that's fine. If that's your goal, go be that. If you want to be a record label mogul and run a fashion company and be an interior designer and be a producer, go do that. Like, I don't think that they're... is as many limits as people put on it.
Yeah, it's weird.
I just think that it's such a personal thing that you have to figure out for yourself. There are a lot of people that will probably try a lot of things and then realize that's not for me.
That's like the beauty of life, though, is that you get to try a bunch of stuff and see if you like it or if you don't like it. That's like what people tell children to do. But then when you're adult, people all of a sudden are like, oh, we don't do that anymore. Like, no.
Yeah.
You still should be doing that. Like, try different foods, see that you like different cuisines, different like activities, hobbies, sports, workouts, like music genres, whatever it is 100%. That you want to do, you can do it. Just because you're an adult or however old you are, it doesn't matter. Like, you can do whatever you want.
And I think that's even my process with like making a record is I'm definitely a maximalist of like throw paint at the wall and see what sticks. I'd rather have too many ideas and then pull it back than get to the end and be like, I don't know, it's half baked.
Yeah.
And there have been so many little genres and techniques and niche things that I never would have thought that I would personally be good at. I just made a Y2K like Neptune style track for a video.
Yeah.
Not really a style I work when. I was like, I don't do a lot of those like neo soul chords. I don't do a lot of that like J Dilla-esque really swung percussion. But I was like, let's try it and let's see. It came out so crazy. It's like the most requested please release a song that we've ever had.
Yeah.
And that's not a style that I would have said that I was amazing at.
Right.
Turns out I was really fucking good at it.
It's because you listen to all of those artists. I don't know about the newer artists, but all like the actual artists from the early 2000s, like Nelly, Ludacris,
Justin Timberlake.
Who's the other one? Jay-Z?
Yeah,
Clips. Is that what you said? Yeah, Clips, that was it. And Neptunes and Pharrell, like, you listen to all those people, so it does make sense that you are able to translate that.
That's yeah, but if you really would have asked me, is that a genre you think that you can, like, absolutely nail? I'd be like, I'll give it a shot. I don't know. But
that's the beauty of it. That's a lot, that's the...
I did it and figured out I was good at it.
Yeah.
And like, well, I hope to do more stuff in that. That was a fun genre to work in.
Yeah, for sure.
However, I'm not so committed on it that like this week I'm not about to produce a pop record and a country record and a rock record. Like that to me is the beauty of what I've been able to build into my workflow and my kind of sound as a producer.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my goal is to have that Timbaland or Pharrell factor where you can listen and you can be like, oh, this sounds like it was produced by Austin, but it's like a full rock song with like live drums and guitars and tons of stacked vocals. Or you can listen to like a stripped back ballad and be like, this is really only piano and vocals, but for some reason it sounds like an Austin production.
Right. Yeah.
And to me, that's the beauty of like nailing your sound. I don't think that all that has to be in the same super confined genre, doing the same super confined task over and over and over.
Yeah.
But
I think just focus on what makes you happy and what you like and focus on things that you're good at. trying new things, and you don't need to be focusing on what other people are doing or comparing yourself to other people or other producers. I think that's too why people probably like, I think it would be difficult if you're like, oh, I'm trying to be really good at this one thing, but then this one person is over here doing multiple things and they're also really good at that. I mean, that would piss me off a little bit. That would piss anybody off. So it's understandable why people get a little irritated with that. Like, I can see where they're coming from. I'm not saying it's right, but I can see it.
Yeah, definitely. Think, it can sting a little bit.
Yeah, but just maybe focus that energy on yourself. And like, again, it's not a competition where like you need to fight out every person who does the same thing that you do. It's fine. You can all
there coexist. Is enough space in the music industry for everybody, I promise.
You see how many songs are released on Spotify every day? It's like an obnoxious amount that you wouldn't even believe. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much all my thoughts. Do you have any closing thoughts? I think we kind of went over everything and nailed it.
Yeah, I don't nailed it. Did you guys think we nailed this podcast?
Nailed it. So Jack of all trades, master of none, I think is bullshit, honestly.
I feel like every single week we're like, oh, here's this old saying that people used to say, and we're like,
fuck you,
stupid.
Yeah, actually,
outdated.
Actually, but.
But that's how it goes. It's like with time, everything changes.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that, like I said before, I think it's a lot of mindsets of people who haven't done what people my age and younger have to do now to get a career.
That's a thing.
And,
you
know, like, I can't fully relate and understand to artists who are 17 years old who have to make a TikTok every single fucking day so the label doesn't drop them. Because when I was 17, that's not what you did. You just went out and played shows and got a bunch of people to like your MySpace page.
Right.
Or your Facebook page or whatever. Like, you're not going to understand everything forever. And
that's fine.
Yeah. At some point, like, the world will change and you can either adapt or get left behind or stay in your niche and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that pretty much does it for this episode. I will say, if you haven't already, make sure that you subscribe to this YouTube channel if you're watching this. If you're listening to this on any podcast platforms, we're doing video episodes now that come out on the same day as the podcast. So you can listen on, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. But if you want to watch it, if you want to see our really intense facial reactions, if you want to sing,
especially mine,
sometimes we'll like overlay graphics and stuff too. If you ever want to see that, it's on the YouTube channel, just under the sound table. And if you're watching it on YouTube, make sure that you subscribe so we can keep doing these every other week. And then before we go, you know what time it is?
Wreck, baby, wreck.
Wreck, baby, wreck. Wreck, baby, wreck.
Well, I didn't really think about anything, especially because I'm trying to do things that are like good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep forgetting what I did the week before. So then I don't want to sound like a broken record telling you guys to like breathe and drink water.
Last week you said get in the sun.
Oh yeah, I did. You're right. What am I going to say? Maybe get a little movement in today would be my, because I did a little run that I didn't really want to do today. And I was happy I did it when I was done. Not like a full-on workout where you got to be sweating. Just like a little walk.
Get your blood flowing. Get the muscles a little loose.
Yeah.
Also, for people who sit down all day, like, we are so tight that, like, number one, stretch. But if you aren't a big stretcher, at least moving, I think, helps. Like, even a simple walk. After a 15-minute walk, I'm like, my neck feels better.
That's what I'm saying. Like, a little 10-minute walk. Just get the blood flowing in your body.
Yeah.
And if you want to take it over the edge and do a little stretch, more power to you.
That's a great idea.
Take care of yourself, guys.
My turn?
Yep. You didn't think about it, did you?
No. My recommendation for the week is going to be, I've been using a new set of headphones. You can't really see them off camera, but in the studio, I've never really been a big headphone mixer guy. I have headphones for tracking and stuff like that. I've used the Sleep VSX. That's all great. But I kind of just wanted a pair of like pretty flat headphones to mix in if, you know, Miranda's going to bed early or she has a headache or if I'm working on the road or whatever. And so Neumann actually reached out. They had these headphones that they wanted me to try. And so they sent them over and I've been using them now for a couple weeks. I've also been trying out new monitors in the studio, and in the process, that's kind of been like my consistent, you know, teller of what things are sounding like. And they're really, really great. So if you aren't in like a perfectly treated room or you just need some headphones to reference on and mix on, I believe they're called the Neumann NDH30s. They're open back. So they're not good for like tracking vocals because you can, it almost sounds like there's a little speaker playing.
Mm.
But they are fantastic. They're super flat. The low end is super punchy, but they are detailed, but not exciting. Like, I would say that these are not like a headphone that I would just like casually listen to for fun. They're amazing for mixing. and they do that really, really well. So if you're looking for mixing headphones, try out the Neumann NDH30s. Not sponsored or anything. They did send them over, but whenever companies do that, I don't have to talk about it if I don't like it. I just really enjoyed these. So go check those out. Other than that, if you want to check out any of the other stuff that we do, go check out makepopmusic.com. We have sample packs, preset packs, courses, weekly YouTube videos on the Make Pop Music channel. And then other than that, I think that's it. Anything to add?
That's all right.
Well, we'll see you guys in a couple weeks. And until then, much love, peace.